of changes in technical processes and so on, it's difficult to get along without credit cards, without schedules, without programs. Everything has to be programmed, outlined, processed, as the case might be. If you've been wandering around the campus, you've discovered that they need blueprints, not only to locate the building in the proper position with the proper orientation and so on, they also need blueprints to locate the sprinkler systems, to spread the grass seed and other materials, and so that blueprints are an essential aspect of our living, whether we're building, squatting, or enduring, as the case may be. In the second portion of our program this morning, the Vice President is speaking to us on the topic, Blueprint for the Future. I'm very happy to introduce Vice President, Mr. Bob Kennedy.
Thank you very much, Chairman Dave. And you can be certain that although I told him what the topic of the speech was, I did not tell him to say that I was going to spread on any of that kind of stuff that he is referring to here. That was his own idea, and of course it may be your idea too when I get through. I would like to congratulate and compliment Captain Freiberger and the committee that have done such an excellent job in preparing the Fall Staff Conference program here at San Luis Obispo. Although I was not here during the Monday portion of the program, since I returned from the Kellogg Voorhees campus Monday evening, I have heard nothing but fine compliments about the program. In fact, just a moment ago, one of the faculty members came up to me and made a real point of what a successful program we had had thus far. And I didn't know exactly how to take it, and he's out there, and he knows who I'm talking about, and he'll remember this for quite a while, I'm sure. So I feel a little bit like maybe one of those relay racers on the anchor lap, you know, somebody hands you the baton, and you don't know whether you're going to drop it or whether you've stepped out of the zone already. And perhaps I will have done both of those things before I'm through. But to all of the old staff members and to the new staff members, and there are many of them, as you know, I would like to add my welcome to that which President McPhee gave to you when he spoke on Monday evening. And as I said a moment ago, I did return Monday evening, and evidently it was a good thing that I did. I got there at 10 minutes of 6, and I got there just in time to hear Dale Andrews keep saying, is it all right, Vice President Kennedy, if we start this program now? I don't know how many of you heard that, but I nodded my head, not knowing exactly what he meant, and he began the program. Now, I happen to think if I had not arrived, I didn't leave KV until 1:30 in the afternoon, I stopped for lunch on the way, that I could have been late, and you might be still out there. Now, I hope that what I say today will complement what President McPhee had to say and will not be repetitious. On the probably incorrect assumption that one-way communications is better than none, I'm going to try in the next few minutes, and parenthetically this phrase in the next few minutes is an obvious device of a speaker, to lull you into thinking that that he is not really going to use up his allotted time of 40 minutes. So to repeat, but more honestly, I intend in the remainder of the next half hour to communicate on the subject of institutional goals, not just those goals that we have stated as objectives for the next 5 years and for the next 10 years, but a file basket full of the goals which we hope to accomplish during this year of 1960-61. While it is true that we must have 5-year plans and 10-year plans, the implementation of these long-range objectives must be bitten off a little at a time and chewed thoroughly before swallowing. When we consider everything which must be accomplished by this college before 1970, it is frightening indeed. But when we take it in smaller chunks, what we might realistically accomplish during 1960-61, it can give us an optimistic feeling that most of these goals, now tentative blueprints for the future, will be adequately reviewed, polished, perfected, and implemented during the year. Now I'm going to list 20 goals for 1960-61. After I list them and call them goals repeatedly, it may get, like the old timer said, it might tejas. But bear with me. One of my kids borrowed the Roget's thesaurus to meet the requirements of a beefed up junior college curriculum, and I couldn't think of 20 synonyms, so don't count the times I use the word goals, please. If I bore you with the details, don't yawn. And as Carl Beck said as we returned from the coffee hour, that he knew now why they had coffee just before I spoke, but he really suggested that they should have given each person a no-dose tablet. You can see what tenure and seniority can do for a faculty member. Now, if I frighten some of you with the prospects that you may be asked to serve on a lot of committees in addition to your other work, relax. We even have a plan for getting the job done without work. You've heard of the IBM machine, haven't you? You know, that wasn't any funnier here than it was at the Kellogg Boys campus. And the reason I thought I'd try it here was that they don't have an IBM machine down there yet, and I thought they just didn't get the point. It's either too subtle or too serious. Now, I am sure that each teaching staff member has been doing some reviewing, revising, and perfecting of his course outlines and teaching plans and materials for the courses he will teach starting next week. Other staff members also have been doing some advanced planning so that those who will do the teaching will have the facilities to carry on their work effectively. By facilities, I mean everything that a faculty member needs: books, office space, salary, equipment, buildings, secretarial help, custodial service, etc. As difficult as it sometimes is to fill the order at the time and in the quantity needed, it is a reasonable request which those who teach expect to have honored, because teaching is the essential task for which the institution exists. Each staff member participates in some phase of advanced planning, whether it is merely listing the things he is going to try to accomplish on his job on that day, or establishing institutional goals for 5 years hence. While each staff member may not have consciously established goals for 5 years from now, or even for the year 1960-61, chances are he has in his subconscious a list of goals he would like to see carried out by his department, by his division, and by the college. If not this year, then sometime in the future. I wish that each of you could tell me what you see in your own crystal ball when you concentrate on bringing forth from your subconscious those goals for your department, your division, and the college. Before I set forth this list of goals for 1960-61, let me reassure you that we have goals that have been developed by due process that are projected beyond this current year through 1965, and some other goals, perhaps slightly more tentative, projected through 1970. But keep in mind that we expect to see many changes in these long-range goals and plans as staff members and committees subject them to searching review. But about the college's five-year plans, let me quote a statement made by the Western College accreditation team, which visited both campuses in January 1960, and I quote, "A five-year plan for the organization, development, and administration of the college is well advanced and seems to guide and control the explosive growth of the college. The survey committee finds it to be well conceived and based upon a maximum amount of relevant data clearly and intelligently analyzed. The same imaginative and far-sighted planning evident in the five-year plan is further apparent in current programs of land acquisition and expansion of physical plant, end quote. The five-year plan referred to is not yet contained in one small volume which could be reproduced in quantities so that you could all have copies. It is, however, all contained in one place, the administrative staff's planning center, in the form of charts, maps, drawings, architectural plans, notebooks, and reports. It is not the work of one or two long-range planning experts, but the efforts of many staff members brought together in one place for further review and refinement. We would not, even if we had the experts, turn over the entire long-range planning to one or two persons. But we do have some staff members who are continuously working with faculty members to obtain their spatial views and opinions. In the list which follows will be some of the more important items which can be classified as goals and on which work will be started or continued with the hope that results can be achieved in 1960-61. I have not attempted to list them in the order of importance. I have numbered them only for convenience in presenting them here. Even with this warning, I'm certain that the order in which I list goals for 1960-61 will have meaning for some of you, which I do not intend. The inclusion of some goals and the exclusion of others will unfortunately have significance to some, which is also unintended. For example, goals which are, for the most part, commonly listed as standard for any institution of higher learning are left out of the list today in the interests of time and to prevent this presentation from taking on a Cloud 9 atmosphere. And if I were to mention further, a type of goal that I have left out, it would be elimination of the parking permit plan. I think that maybe from what I heard that you covered it maybe not adequately but sufficiently yesterday. Although there will be 20 goals in the list, I intend to elaborate only on the first 10. Goal number one, develop with the new Board of Trustees and the new Chancellor and his staff the same fine relationship which the college had with the State Board of Education, the State Director of Education, and his staff. This is primarily the job of the president. As President McPhee told us Monday evening, he already has been working with the trustees at their August and September meetings. He also has been quick to establish important rapport with the newly appointed temporary chief administrator, Dr. Donald Leifer. Our success with the Board of Education in past years was due to many things, including the trust and faith which the board had in the president, the board's confidence that this college knew what its job was and knew how to get done the things that needed to be done economically and efficiently. How can you help achieve this particular goal? In my opinion, the best possible way is to give the president 100% support and presenting the institution in its best possible light in the year just ahead. The Board of Education and trustees will meet at the Kellogg-Borries campus on October 13th and 14th. Plans are being formulated for hosting the group in typical Cal Poly style. Tours will be a part of the orientation to Cal Poly's educational facilities and methods. A report entitled Toward Tomorrow has been prepared for distribution to the trustees. The report was reviewed last week by about 25 staff members representing both campuses who met in a two-day conference at the Kellogg campus. Refinements suggested there now are being incorporated prior to printing. The report will include a number of charts as well as other facts to support the major theme of this report, which is the state college system should encourage and provide for diversification of educational opportunity within the system. President McPhee will make an oral presentation to the trustees to complement the printed report and to emphasize points and answer questions. Goal number two, develop refinements to our present system for representation of all staff members in policy formulation. Our present system of departmental committees, division committees, executive council, and cabinet is supplemented by the college council, made up of elected non-managerial representatives from all recognized departmental groups. During the past year, faculty administrative relationship committees at both campuses prepared reports which became a part of a statewide report to the Board of Education. In May, I met with the two committees separately and requested that they continue during 1960-61 and concentrate upon the problem of improving committee organization. The members were requested to continue as individual staff members and not as representatives from any employee groups, which had been the basis of the original appointment. They are to study our committee structure, its relationship to the line organization, and the place of the college council, which is now more democratically representative than groups at some of the other state colleges, which limit membership to academic employees only. Improvement of communications between all groups and all levels in the organization could stand as a separate goal for 1960-61. However, since the study of our committee structure is being undertaken by the faculty administrative relationship committees, they will be asked to include recommendations for improvement of communications. Now, most everyone agrees that participation of staff members in recommending important institutional policies is a desirable objective. The real problem, and one that is not easily solved, pertains not to the matter of participation in recommending policies, but to the level within the organization at which various types of decisions are to be made. Just as there are many individuals who have had a hand in formulating policies which guide the operations of departments and divisions of this college, there also are various levels at which decisions on recommendations can be and are finally approved. It is my desire to develop within our organization a more workable plan than we now have to keep as much as possible of the decision-making at the most appropriate level. The tendency in any organization to buck past the problem that may cause difficulty is habit-forming. People begin to want to make only the happy or yes decisions, while passing on to higher authority the unhappy or potential no decision. Maybe this is as it should be, but I can tell you from experience that so-called high-level decision-making is often like elephants mating. One, everything takes place at a high level. Two, something gets trampled in the process. And three, nothing happens for 18 months. Goal number three. You couldn't say that at maybe any other institution except one that had a little agricultural background. Goal number three. Develop with the approval of the new chancellor and the trustees necessary legislation to make possible, as President McPhee has planned and promised, the benefits of permanent tenure as an extension of our four-year appointment program. Extension of the program, if approved by the trustees and the legislature, would give permanent tenure after successful completion of a four-year appointment. In the meantime, and until we get approval of our own type of permanent tenure, we will continue with our four-year appointment program as outlined in the employee's handbook. The safeguard of the appointments review boards at each campus worked well last year. All recommendations, even those which reversed previous administrative decision, were approved by the president. Goal number four, obtain on a statewide basis a realistic interpretation and application of the admission requirements recommended by the Master Plan Survey Team for the state colleges and the University of California. I'll not dwell on this because I realize that Dean Harold Wilson spent some time on this with you people on Monday. But I would like to say this in addition. There is a statewide committee that has been appointed to try and come up with this realistic solution to the problem of how do you determine what is or what constitutes the top one-third of the high school graduating classes in the state of California. And on this committee, the faculty will be represented by Dr. Vance Lewis. And for your information, I think he is qualified in many respects, and in particularly one, his 1954 doctoral dissertation was on the subject scholastic factors in the success of engineering students, and his study was based on Cal Poly experience. And I am the other representative of the college on this statewide committee. The original objective of the master plan seemed to be the reduction of state college enrollments. And since this is true, it is hoped that the statewide committee will be able to make recommendations acceptable to the trustees, which will achieve the necessary reductions in number without penalizing qualified high school graduates who could succeed in college. Goal number 5, complete the current college-wide study of general education, which was begun last year by committees at both campuses with representatives from all instructional areas. I'd like to pause here for a moment and say that I was very much impressed with the panel that we all just heard on the subject of general education, and say to you at this point that the comments that I have here, I wrote prior to the time that I heard their recommendations, of course, which are as yet incomplete because they have yet to be screened by some other committees. But even so, as I listened, and I listened carefully, I don't believe that what I am about to say on this subject is in conflict with what they have done. And furthermore, I am quite satisfied that some of the warnings which I had included in these next comments evidently have been uppermost in the minds of those people who have served on these committees. And so if you hear me say something that sounds as though I am trying to warn everybody to be careful of something, it appears to me that within this committee structure of the people who are working on this problem of general education, perhaps we have already provided for the safeguards which I think are absolutely necessary. The work of these committees, which was discussed earlier this morning, will be doubly significant. Their efforts will form the basis for an interim report required by the Western College Accreditation Committee at the end of a 3-year period. Although the college has been reaccredited by the Western College Association for a 5-year period, with high commendation for our programs in agriculture, engineering, and some of the arts and sciences, the accreditation report is definitely critical of our present general education offerings. In this respect, we should be careful to avoid being stampeded into compromising our basic objectives in an effort to placate in certain individuals or groups who admittedly are hazy on what constitutes general education, but insist that whatever it is, it should be the one fundamental objective or goal of all institutions of higher education. Let me quote several passages from the Western College Association report to show you what I mean. The report has this to say about Cal Poly. In the field of engineering, the instances of excellence in accomplishment of objectives are too numerous to list in detail in this report. In the field of agriculture, the story is much the same. An enthusiastic faculty, eager students, and excellent measuring up to the goals of the program. And now let me quote that section of the report in which the committee decides on the one hand that Cal Poly has achieved the zenith of accomplishment in its stated objectives and recommends on the other hand that we forget our efforts to be a prestige institution with special limited objectives. They ask that we accept the inevitability of joining the institutions who seemingly want to be or are pressured into being all things to all people. I further quote, the committee sympathizes completely with the college administration in facing the dilemma of future growth. Shall the college remain true to its original specialized function, occupational education in agriculture, engineering, and the applied arts and sciences, and to continue to distinguish itself in that special area? Or shall it respond to the growing pressures of the community to become an all-purpose state college by adding to its present functions numerous additional functions which might result in the weakening and overshadowing of the necessary and unique purposes it was designed to serve? A decision to limit the functions of such an institution as Cal Poly would be understandable. I continue to quote, Certainly any institution which attempted to do only a few things, but in a superior fashion, could conceivably enjoy success and distinction not easily attained by all-purpose institutions. But several important decisions have already been made here which make a return to the simple life impossible to justify. First, the institution grants college degrees, including the Master of Arts degree. Second, the institution grants the general secondary credential and offers majors in several academic disciplines. Third, the institution serves as the principal cultural center for a relatively isolated community. End quote. The report, as a side comment, was meant to cover both campuses. And of course, when you say that Pomona is a relatively isolated community, it is not very realistic. You can get killed down there without half trying. Such a statement ignores completely the principle that an accreditation team is to evaluate an institution on the basis of how well it meets its objectives. It violates principles propounded by dozens of leaders in higher education who have repeatedly won acclaim for themselves and for their institutions by selecting an objective and avoiding the pressure to make that institution all things to all people. We certainly are not in disagreement with the idea that we should provide a sound and comprehensive general education for all of our students. But to give each student a sound general education, we do not need to proliferate courses in the liberal arts merely to provide a showy catalog that would make it appear that all students of all divisions have a wide selection of elective courses, courses they can take cafeteria style without regard to the objectives of the curriculum. And again, as a side remark, this is the only interpretation I can put on the final conclusion of the report. But this is what they want. They want us to have lots of courses, and they want to make it possible for a student to take anything he wants at any time without regard to objective. We can and will improve our general education program, as you have heard from the persons who were here today on this panel. But I say we do not need to compromise our principles nor our basic purposes in so doing. Goal number 5, evaluate long-range recommendations on proposed new curricula, consider the need for revisions of present curricula, eliminate duplication of courses wherever it occurs without justification, and consider the possibility of curricula consolidations where such action seems advisable. This is a continuous process, of course, occurring actually during the development each year of the college catalog for the following year. But this could be considered only short-range planning if this were the only way in which these objectives were approached. At a recent brainstorm session, Dean Hayes, one of Cal Poly's better creative thinkers, tossed out the idea that we might be able to accomplish all of the goals of long-range planning, or nearly all of them, particularly those mentioned here, by deciding that during 1960-61, we would develop a complete but tentative catalog for the year 1965-66. It could be done. We may attempt it. But I'm certain that any reference to possible consolidation of programs and elimination of courses causes great concern within faculty groups at most colleges. It involves the principle of vested interest in the status quo versus recognized needs for curricular modifications. As someone so aptly described it, changing the curriculum entails the same physical and psychological difficulties as moving a cemetery. I'm certain that such concern for maintaining the status quo within a curriculum does not apply at Cal Poly. We are all aware of the necessity of keeping abreast of the times so that our instructional programs will be geared to the future needs of our students, both as occupationally trained specialists and as citizens in a rapidly changing world. Goal number 7, develop a better, more effective summer quarter at the San Luis Obispo campus and plan for an eventual summer quarter at the Kellogg campus. Our objective here is to obtain maximum utilization of facilities, speeded up educational opportunities for students, and additional salary opportunities for staff members. All other state colleges have self-supporting summer sessions. A legislative analyst has included in recent reports on the budget critical remarks on the inconsistency of permitting Cal Poly to include our summer quarter in the regular budget. We believe, however, that we are moving in the right direction, and other state colleges should and probably would follow our lead. We intend to include in our San Luis Obispo 1961-62 class schedule all four quarters. We are working now to have the summer quarter 1960 schedule available at the times to have the 1961 schedule available at the time students are being advised about their winter quarter schedule. In addition, we hope that we can develop a workable plan by which we can make firm commitments, not later than January 1st, to faculty members that they will be on the payroll for that summer. This will not be easy to handle because we cannot permit faculty members to teach courses unless such courses reach certain minimum enrollments. Currently, a plan is being developed by the San Luis Obispo Executive Council, which holds promise for solving this problem. Goal number 8, develop a coordinated program of continuing education for all three campuses. We have appointed Dr. Dale Andrews as coordinator of special educational services. Formerly, he was agricultural teacher trainer and coordinator of our program for producing instructional materials. He will have college-wide policy responsibility for this area of development. He will work under the direct supervision of Dean Wilson and will coordinate his efforts with Dean Fisher, Dean McCorkle, and Mr. Kitch. Mr. Kitch, as you probably know, has accepted a 1960-61 assignment as assistant to the president with headquarters at the Voorhees campus. He is continuing work started last year to make the Voorhees campus a self-supporting statewide conference center operated by Cal Poly. I wished I had time here to describe the plans in detail. Our own architectural engineering program here, with the help of senior students and faculty members, last year developed plans for the architectural part of developing this center. Development of this project, and particularly in the field of financing, really is a separate goal, and I'll not expend any more time on it at the moment. We will look forward to the continuation of special educational programs as those already offered successfully at San Luis Obispo during summers and other periods when regular classes are not in session. We hope to promote additional programs which are closely related to one or more of our own instructional departments or divisions. The National Science Foundation supported programs for high school students, we hope, for example, can be expanded in 1961. Applications have been submitted for National Science Foundation programs in mathematics and science for high school students, electronics for junior college students, and mathematics for high school and junior college teachers. Goal number 9, improve our methods of recruiting faculty and staff. Probably our most important goal for the future, to fill new and estimated replacement needs during the 5-year period until 1965, we will have to recruit an estimated 664 faculty members. And by 1970, we would have to recruit an additional 1,038 faculty members. Obviously, we are going to have to do a good job in this field if we are going to preserve our objectives. Early release of new positions to divisions and departments is essential. We recognize this. This last year, we attempted to do a better job than had been done in the past. I believe that the release of positions was made actually on February the 1st. We hope to release new positions for 1961-62 even earlier. In the meantime, department heads and division heads should be lining up the best qualified candidates so that no unnecessary delays in processing will occur. President McPhee last night related to you the conversation that we had with Chancellor Gould of the University of California at Santa Barbara. And he told us, as you heard him, Mr. McPhee, say last night about his experiences at Antioch College. And I'll not repeat them at this time, except to say that for a man who has now been placed in a position as chancellor of one of the University of California campuses, I think it is rather important for us to contemplate the significance of what he said to both President McPhee and to me when he said, a college like Antioch or a college like Cal Poly, whose objectives are not standardized and uniform with those of all other institutions, must have a program by which the faculty will be selected and will be oriented to your program. And he said further, I personally always interviewed each candidate that was hired at Antioch, and I went through all of the differences between the Antioch program and any other institution. And when I finished, I said to the potential candidate, if you agree with what we stand for, then we would probably like to have you on our staff. If you disagree now, it would be best for all of us if you would seek employment elsewhere, because we do not believe that we should be hiring people who set out to have as one of their objectives a proposed program of changing Antioch to become like some other institution. Now, I know that to even discuss this with faculty members sounds crass, sounds as though we were saying that if you don't believe what President McPhee believes or what Bob Kennedy believes or what Clyde Fisher or Harold Hayes or some other administrator believes, that then you have no right to express yourself. And this is not true. This is not what we mean. I think we're all perfectly willing to listen to committees such as those who, the members of the committees on general education here, expound on the better ways of doing a job, and perhaps even better ways of achieving any objective or even changing objectives. But I think that they should have in mind when they join our staff what this institution stands for and what its basic objectives are. And I hope that we will stress this with every interview that every department and division head has with every candidate. Goal 10, further implement recommendations contained in the 5 long-range planning committee reports, which were developed by 5 committees, each with representation from both campuses. The reports were developed after months of study following a long-range planning conference involving about 65 staff members, which was held at San Luis Obispo on March 20, 1958. The reports were on these 5 subjects: 1, Cal Poly's place in California education; 2, the types or types of students Cal Poly wants; 3, instruction and instructors, what does Cal Poly want; 4, college per FTE instruction costs; and 5, grants, fellowships, scholarships, and loan funds. The reports were reviewed jointly by the 2 executive councils during 1959, and assignments were made for implementation of recommendations then considered feasible or workable. Many of the recommendations have been implemented during 1958-59 and 1959-60. Others will be implemented in 1960-61. As I said earlier, we won't have time to expand or explain the other 10 goals for 1960-61, which I have included in the list. I list them here with no comment, just so you will know of some of the other goals we will be working on mutually this year. Goal 11, improve our methods and achievement of expected outcomes in all instructional areas. But for 1960-61, concentrate particularly on areas where graduates and their employers have indicated weaknesses. 12, keep the Voorhees campus as a part of the college, operating pilot programs of conference workshops and other related continuing education programs during 1960-61, and simultaneously obtain the financial support from private sources to make the Voorhees campus a self-supporting statewide conference center operated by Cal Poly. Firm up for the KV campus a flexible master building plan based upon a potential future student enrollment of 12,000 students. Number 14, continue to study our FTE cost data and make economies wherever we can without hurting the basic program. 15, improve our public relations program with concentration in 1960-61 on publicizing the meat and potato aspects of our instructional program. Work on projects that will specifically help to maintain a close student-teacher ratio and relationship. Goal 17, improve our program of relations with schools with specific actions designed to bring more of the right kind of students to Cal Poly. Goal 18, move ahead on the building program at both campuses. And George Klukas told the staff here, I'm sure, on Monday, all that needs to be said on that subject. Goal 19, find a way of providing low-cost housing for married students. Goal 20, intensify our efforts in institutional self-study. Since this is the last of the list, permit me one comment on this final goal. We hope to accomplish this not by appointing more and more committees, but by the operations research technique perfected or nearly perfected by industry. By replacing the hand-laboring committee as a data-gathering device, we can free committees to become truly groups of creative individuals coming to grips with significant problems. Let me cite here a true instance in which I overheard three stenographers at a coffee break apply really creative thinking to an obviously significant problem. I will try to recap this in about the way I heard it. And if any of the young ladies are here, I hope they will not get up and leave or make any sign to indicate that this is really a true story. You think I'm kidding, but I think I see the girl that made one of the remarks sitting right out there. So the first young lady said, you know, there ought to be some way in which the college could make certain that some of our female employees who are pregnant do not work beyond the time when they can do so efficiently. One of the other girls spoke up and said, that's a good point. And you know, where I worked before in industry, they really had a way of doing this. They had a rule that you had to bring a doctor's certificate that would indicate, I guess the certificate, I didn't hear all, but I presume that the thing indicated first that you were pregnant and when you became pregnant and so on. But the certificate actually was the basis upon which the company would not permit the employee to work beyond the 6 months period. After that, they couldn't work there any longer. So the third girl spoke up and said, well, you know, this might be all right for private industry, but, you know, the state would never move in on a thing like this. After all, we got the civil service and personnel board and all these things. I mean, they would look a great deal more, should I say, humanitarian. Can I use this word in this group after what we said about the humanities? I mean, the fishing and hunting and all that sort of thing. But anyway, we would look with a great, the state would be look askance at trying to control a thing like this, you see. And so I don't think you could do anything about it unless you merely write out a suggestion and send it to the merit board and suggest that maybe we do something about it. I was getting real interested as to what they might do about this thing, because, you know, it is a real problem. I read about it every place. One girl who at this point was really applying creative thinking said, now, wait a minute. You don't have to suggest this. We don't have to go through the process of creating new rules and regulations. Well, I just read in the CSEA newspaper just last month one of those cases where it talks to the student, the personnel board cites case histories. Maybe you read this. The girl actually had read this. And she says, there's already a rule that takes care of it. She says, there's a rule that says no woman employee can work in a state agency and carry at any one time more than 10 pounds. Now, you think I'm kidding, but if you talk about this a little while, you'll find out you can learn more things during a coffee break than maybe you need to know. But seriously, let me conclude with this thought. Our long-range planning for the future and our achievement of our year-to-year goals can be successfully accomplished only to the extent that we have many creative minds working cooperatively and continuously. While the necessity of cooperation is perhaps obvious to all, it sometimes appears that the necessity for doing the job of long-range planning on a continuous basis is overlooked. We set target dates and we worked toward them as though all the problems would be solved when that date was reached. The five-year plan that had the target date of 1960 has now been bypassed by time itself. Too soon for many of us, but we can anticipate that the same thing will happen to our plans, which have as target dates the years of 1965 and the year 1970. While it is natural for man to want to get everything planned, organized, and carried out so he can sit down and enjoy the fruits of his labors, we must remember that this process of blueprinting the future for Cal Poly is a continuous process which can never end. For this, we should all be thankful. As the philosopher said, pray not for jobs all finished, but give thanks for ones to start. Thank you.
I want to thank you, Vice President Kennedy, on behalf of our group. Very stimulating and challenging expression of the problems which we will have a share in working with. Thank also again Dean Hayes and his crew handling the first part of the program. I know of one announcement which should be made from Fred Bowden. Are there any other announcements which should be taken care of? Fred, do you want to speak there or up here?
I need to come up there.
All right.
This is just a brief report on this parking thing I spoke about Monday, I guess it was. CSEA headquarters and 10 of the instructional staff at Sacramento State College have instituted suit against the Department of Education and the Department of Finance and the president of Sacramento State College to set aside this parking. And we have been asked by the CSEA headquarters to just stand by and observe, and they will keep us informed as to what has happened and whether, if any, we should take any local action or anything like that. But at the present time, we are requested not to take any local action in our local courts.
Are there any other announcements that should be made? Thanks again to the participants of the program this morning. We stand adjourned.